Bet on Bears fans, welcome into another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast. Pat the Designer back at it again. We got a lot to get into here as we've got legal tampering day open. Bears have made some moves, maybe not enough moves. Now, I am refreshing the page on Adam Schefter's name and Ian Rappaport's name every couple of minutes. So if you see me looking to the side or looking down, I'm looking at a phone to make sure the news that we're getting is current for today's podcast. We also be covering this throughout the week. Have Courtney Cronin on tomorrow, Jason McKee on this week as well, talking all this. But on today's episode, I mean, listen, we got to talk about the Bears signing DeAndre Swift to a 3-year, $24 million deal. Got to talk about the Justin Fields trade location seeming to dwindle down. And we got a little bit of news about the Chicago Bears stadium that makes it very interesting. Are the Bears staying in Chicago? All that and more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. First things first, appreciate all of you guys who show love to the channel. I love when I get to get these one-on-one videos with you guys, man. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, all that good stuff. Let's jump into the latest news here that we have to this point. Let's start it off with the DeAndre Swift signing. Chicago Bears signed DeAndre Swift to a 3-year, $24 million deal. Now, DeAndre Swift, 25 years old, is coming off his career high in rushing yards, 1,000-yard season last year, 1,049 yards. His last season with the Eagles, also catching 39 passes for 214 yards and a touchdown and earning his first Pro Bowl bid in his first year in Philadelphia. This contract comes with $15.3 million guaranteed, which to me says that this is a 2-year contract, realistically, right? You're giving him the guaranteed money. You know he's going to be here for 2 years. And I think that this is the right move by the Chicago Bears. Now, do I love the move? No. I'll tell you why I don't love the move. Y'all know why I don't love the move. I do not believe in paying running backs. I do not think that $8 million per for 3 years is great value for the running back position, because I believe that you can go find those guys. And I also don't like that this is the first move that we were able to get done here. I would like to see some of these other moves start to come in where the Bears actually change things up a little bit. But now you kind of see, okay, 15.3 million guarantees. You get him in here for a couple of years. Hopefully Roshan's able to develop in that time. Maybe you run it out with a combination of Swift and Herbert, but I don't know if that's going to be the move there. I think you probably go with a young guy. I'm fine with the deal depending on what you do. Do I think you could have done better? Of course I do. But as far as pay, that's just me and my personal opinion on the running back position. As far as the value on this deal, listen, you're getting a young guy who's able to come in, make an impact. You know he's going to be able to run the football really well. And I think that that's one of those things where, okay, are we going to be able to play him off tackle? Yes, you are. Are you going to be able to run him up the middle? Yes, you are. Very solid back when you look at size and weight on this guy. I mean, like, there's a lot of upside to DeAndre Swift. And guess what? The reason nobody wanted to keep him around is because you don't want to pay running backs. You want to be able to get these guys on the cheap. Detroit ends up moving on from because they draft one in Jamal Williams, and they end up signing David Montgomery to $2 million less. You know what I mean? Philly ends up moving on because they got a lot of other issues going over there. They're not worried about paying the running back position. The Bears able to swoop in, pick this one up, and I think that you're adding an impact piece. You're adding an impact player, and you're adding what to me is a 3-down guy in that backfield. I think that there are certain situations where maybe you won't utilize him as far as pass catching as much, but maybe they just haven't utilized him in that way a ton, and there is more of an ability to that. Not to say, right, it's not like when you look at his numbers, he's been targeted a million times and he's only got the 39 catches this season, right? Like it's kind of a underutilized part of his game, maybe for good reason, but you're also trying to develop some young guys on this team. Like I said, the only reason I will even consider this is because as we are right now, it feels like the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams. With Caleb Williams, I want a safety blanket that he can count on in that backfield. I don't know if that was Khalil Herbert. Definitely don't know if that was Roschon Johnson. Deontay Foreman, not on this team anymore. I think that that means you had to go out and get somebody that's a little bit more safe. You're getting this young man coming off of a Pro Bowl season. I'm not mad at this kind of deal. I think here's the other thing that you have to pay attention to as well. Looking around the league, because we know the conversation on a lot of these backs is going to be what? Well, you could have had him. You could have made this move. You could have gone out and signed this guy. The two guys that stand out, of course, number one ends up going to that team up north, who was Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs was somebody that Jason McKee reported on this show had a heavy interest. Well, I'm not going to say heavy. I'm not going to change what he said. Said he there was mutual interest in him coming to the Chicago Bears. Now, I don't know, and I'm double checking this right now. I don't believe we have a contract number on him, at least as I'm recording this podcast. I don't see one as of yet. And so I don't know how much Aaron Jones or Josh Jacobs ends up getting signed for, but they signed him for enough that they're willing to release Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, somebody who agreed to restructure their entire deal, or who agreed to restructure his deal, I should say. And now you're talking about possibly shipping him out, which they've now cut him. He's going to be going to the probably the Cowboys, I would think, is the best team there. But it's just so interesting because he takes a $5 million pay cut to return to the Packers. You were hoping that you were going to get something worked out if you're the Packers. And guess what? You don't. And they go out and they get the next guy. Now, again, still no update on the number for Josh Jacobs. But does it suck a little more that the Bears had interest in Jacobs and he ends up going up north? A little bit, but I think it also goes to what Saquon Barkley's deal is. I'm not saying that Josh Jacobs is getting that same money, but Saquon Barkley ended up signing with the Philadelphia Eagles 3 years, $37.7 million, which could be up to $46.7 million with incentives and $26 million guaranteed. His guarantees are higher than what DeAndre Swift's entire contract is. I'm okay with passing up on guys for that amount of money when you're still trying to build this thing out. I know so many people. You got to find the dynamic rusher. You got to find the guy who's the big name. You have to find that home run hitter. We need a home run hitter. You got a guy with 4-4 speed in here in DeAndre Swift. You've got a guy that can be a home run hitter for you. You got him for a heck of a lot money less. And realistically speaking, you're sitting there talking about some of these home run hitters going to teams that I'm questioning why you paid him when, right, like the Packers paying Josh Jacobs. I don't know what he's getting paid yet. Maybe it's a team-friendly deal. But the Packers paying Josh Jacobs. You just cut your starting center. Right? Like you're moving on from a lot of players on that offensive line. What are you focusing on a running back right now for? You might need somebody to protect Jordan Love. Right? Like, I think that's the part that confuses me. I look at the Eagles. The Eagles are cutting people left and right. They're switching everything over. And what's the answer? Pay for Saquon Barkley. Your starting center just retired. You have to figure out who's going to fill Jason Kelce's shoes, who is a Hall of Fame level center. And you're focusing on the running back position at $37 million? Are you kidding me? 15 M's a year on a running back. We don't know if the next guy's going to be able to snap the football yet. You got to figure those things out quickly. And I think that the Bears went about this the right way. You're not overpaying for the position. I don't think that I would want to see a running back's not the move that I wanted to see first, right? And it's not the move. I mean, since we've seen it, it's been pretty quiet on the Bears front as far as making moves here. Again, I'm refreshing this thing as much as possible. And Xavier McKinney to the Packers. That is tough. 4-year deal, $68 million, a $17 million average for Xavier McKinney. That's tough because not really. I guess, right? Yeah, that's $10 million more. That you're prioritizing the trenches, you would hope. Still waiting to hear from another move from the Bears here, but you're prioritizing the trenches, so I'm okay with that. But let me know how you guys feel in the comments below on the DeAndre Swift signing. Do you like this signing? Do you feel like this is something that maybe the Bears should have focused on later? I think it's a good signing depending on what the Bears do around this. It can't be your only signing, and that's my biggest question to the Chicago Bears. What else are you going to do? What else do you have planned? Let's keep this thing moving along, though, man. Appreciate you guys for tuning in, showing love. If you're on the podcast side, hit that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. If you're on the YouTube side, hit that like button, man. Subscribe to the page. Appreciate you guys for showing love. I think what's next, you got to go straight into the Justin Fields conversation here. The market's dwindling. The market is dwindling. You look at the, it's almost non-existent now. Russ to the Steelers, that's a done deal. That was somebody that I thought might be heavily interested in Justin Fields. And I think they kicked the tires on maybe making a move, but nothing serious there. And Kirk Cousins decides to go to Atlanta. Kirk Cousins, by the way, let's talk about Kirk Cousins real quick. I just want to put this out there. 2012, he had a standard four-year rookie deal, right? 2016, he gets a $19 million fully guaranteed, $19.9 million fully guaranteed, because they franchise tagged him. Then he gets $23.9 million fully guaranteed because they franchise tagged him. Then in 2018, he gets his big deal, $84 million fully guaranteed for the Vikings. Then he gets another deal, 2022, $35 million fully guaranteed. He's now going into 2024, his age 34 season, 150 M's, $100 million fully guaranteed. This guy's won one playoff game in 12 years. Talk about wheeling and dealing. Listen, I'm not a believer in Kirk the quarterback, but I'm a believer in Kirk the businessman. Get your money, dog. Get your money, dog. Shout out to Kirk the businessman. But talking about the Justin Fields trade market here, I mean, with Kirk Cousins now going to Atlanta on that ridiculous deal, does it start to feel like the third team that we heard was the Raiders? Does it start to feel like it's Raider or bust? And I think what's tough about that is when you look at the Raiders, again, it's the Luke Getsy conversation. It's the Luke Getsy component of it. Not to say that you don't believe that there's something that could work there. Not to say that you don't believe that there's something that maybe Justin Fields can go out there and get a little different. But everything that Justin Fields was learning under Luke Getsy, does it change? I mean, it changed a little bit towards the end of the season. So maybe you're just hoping that, like, going to a different team, being in a different situation, going out there and realizing that, hey, look, maybe it wasn't hate for Luke Getsy. Maybe it was that he didn't like how things were being run here. Maybe Luke Getsy learns from it. But, like, it feels like there's not another option for you. And so you're left in this situation where if the Raiders want Justin Fields, do you trade him there? Knowing that there's no market for him anymore, what kind of draft compensation would you get back from something like that? And realistically speaking, the bottom line is, are the Bears going to give Justin up for nothing? And I just don't believe that to be true. I thought that you'd be willing to take the L on the deal, right? Like, if you believe that Caleb Williams is the answer, maybe you're more willing to take the L on the deal. Maybe you go into the contract, or you go into the trade talks and you say, listen, we would like a second. You're not going to give us a second. Can we get a third? Can we get 2/4? Can we figure something out that we don't believe is the best value that we can get, but still something where we can get some value from this deal? The Bears aren't giving Justin Fields up for a fifth. The Bears aren't giving Justin Fields up for a sixth. They're not giving him up for nothing. And so I think you have to ask yourself the question, right? Are you in a position where you have to keep Justin Fields and Caleb Williams on the roster? Me and Courtney Cronin talked about this right here on the Bears podcast. Like, what happens if you get to this situation where where the value of Justin Fields just isn't there? People aren't willing to make a trade because the market of quarterbacks that's out there is available. Do you carry this into the season? And how do you carry this into the season? And I don't know if this is the worst situation to be in. Right. And the reason I say that is when you look at Justin Fields and how he finished last year, the things where you saw improvement that open up the question marks for so many Bears fans on should you end up keeping Justin Fields. Now you bring Caleb Williams into this equation. Now, me personally, trade back, take Marvin Harrison Jr. Love that. You build this offense out. You find out if Justin's the guy or not. Everybody's like, you commit $25 million. If he's not the guy, guess what? There's going to be another guy that will become available, and he's going to get to step into a Maserati. Or you become one of these teams where these veteran quarterbacks has left that team, and now you get to put that guy into a Maserati here on this offense. But the situation where you may end up having to keep Justin and draft Caleb. Yurko brought this up Friday, What has happened that the quarterback position is not allowed to have competition? What has happened that the quarterback position is not allowed to have two guys that are talented in it? What has happened in the world that the quarterback position is the only position on the football field that if I play better than you, you sit down? What has happened to that? And I think that that could be a scenario that happens here. Realistically speaking, you're talking about if a deal doesn't get done, if they can't find somebody to move Justin, he comes in. You believe in Caleb. You think Caleb is the future of this team. You're still going to training camp probably with Justin as your number one, though. Number one option, Caleb can win the job. If Caleb is better than Justin, Caleb wins the job. Especially for a team like the Chicago Bears. The reason I say that, because guess what? If we take the number one overall pick and Justin Fields starts to flourish and he holds on to the first, holds on to the number one job and he goes out there and he cooks and all of a sudden you're sitting there and you're going, we got the number one pick sitting on the bench over there. We're not playing him. What's going on with that? Nobody cares because Justin's winning. Now you're not talking about Justin Fields as the worst quarterback in the world. Now you're talking about Justin Fields as, hey, guess what? We kept both of them, and now you're in a situation where one guy flourished, one guy didn't, and you get to do what you want with the other guy. Or you get to let a quarterback sit and develop a year. Now, this is not the situation that I thought the Bears would be in. This is not the situation that I thought the Bears would have it set in front of them. But realistically speaking, let me ask Bears Nation this. Can we afford to take a chance on one of these guys not being the guy if we feel that the other one is? So many people feel Caleb Williams is the answer. So many people feel Justin Fields is the answer. For the people that feel Caleb Williams is the answer, guess what? If Caleb Williams is the answer, he should win the job out. He's going to be the answer. What are you hoping to get back for? A sixth round pick for Justin Fields? Is that what you're just giving up? You're just like, just get him out of here so that there's no question on that. If he's the answer, he'll beat Justin Fields out in camp. If he's the answer, he'll beat Justin Fields out for the number one overall or for the starting quarterback job. Guess what? If he's not the answer and Justin Fields wins out, now you just drafted the number one overall pick. He's going to get a chance to sit and develop. He's going to get a chance to sit and learn. You hope that Justin Fields doesn't deal with injury issues. But if he does, now you're talking about, okay, Caleb Williams gets to come in. Caleb Williams gets to work through some things as he's on a season that nobody puts on his shoulders, right? My question to Bears fans is, can you risk it with what we've been through? Maybe we do need to take a look at both of these guys in camp. Maybe we do need to see both of these guys compete for the starting job. Maybe we do need to see who is the best quarterback, because guess what? You've never gotten the quarterback position right. You need to get the answer right or guys are getting fired. You need to be getting the answer right or guys are not going to have jobs next season. And I'm not talking about Ryan Poles. I'm more so talking about the Matt Eberfluses of the world, the Shane Waldrons of the world. You're swapping it all out. And guess what? Maybe if it all goes south, you swap it all out with Caleb Williams in there. And if Caleb and Shane work well together, maybe you put him into the head coaching position. I don't know if that would happen. But realistically speaking, the worst thing to happen in the city of Chicago, a city depraved of quarterback play, a city depraved of quarterback talent, a city that literally has never seen somebody get under center unless you are 165 years old and say, I am confident in that guy going out there and playing Chicago Bears football. Guess what? You get an opportunity to do that. And it may just be because the league doesn't believe in Justin Fields. It may be because the league doesn't believe that Justin Fields is the answer. And more than likely, it's because it's not only that I have to trade for Justin Fields, it's also that I have to pay him $25 million or give him a long-term contract. A lot of teams may not be willing to do both. Guess what? Teams weren't willing to do both with Jalen Johnson. They weren't willing to trade the pick and go out there and sign Jalen Johnson to a long-term deal. Weren't willing to do both. He's a 15 guy. Now he ends up being a top three guy. I bet you they wish they may have done that now, right? I bet you that they're like, oh man, like this guy actually turned into everything he said he was going to be. And the Bears get to reap the benefits of that because they get to pay him now. They had first dibs at paying him when they franchise tagged him. If he wanted to go out and get another deal and try and raise the money, he could have done that. I don't think that we did that because we get the deal done a couple of days later. But for this city to sit there and look at one guy who we've seen have moderate success, at the NFL level. I'm not sitting here telling you that he's blown the doors off everybody. I'm not sitting here telling you he's the greatest quarterback Chicago's ever seen. I'm not sitting here telling you that there's no other answer besides Justin Fields in this city. But if you've seen something from Justin and you believe that Caleb is the future, why not see the other side of it? We live in this world where it's too scary to see the other side of it. We're acting like, right, listen, if you trade Caleb Williams, that's different. If you trade the first overall pick, that's different. Why? I'm getting a draft haul. I'm getting first round picks back. I'm getting future first. I'm getting future options for the Chicago Bears. That's a big difference. If I'm trading Justin Fields, at this point, it seems like the NFL is kind of telling you that they're not willing to trade for him and extend this guy. They're not willing to give him the long-term market right now. Hold on to him. Let him compete in camp. I'm not saying they have to go through the season together. I'm not saying they have to work together. I'm not saying they have to be together. I'm saying make sure you got the answer right. You want to know why that team up north is able to get the answer right? Because their philosophy when they got quarterbacks in here was draft a quarterback every year until we know we've got the answer right. Even when they had Brett Favre, they were still drafting quarterbacks every year. They were still trying to churn out guys and find, okay, maybe he's a little bit more efficient than Favre is. We love what Favre's doing, but maybe he's a little bit more efficient. Maybe we get a guy that's going to be if I'm not mistaken, I want to say Matt Castle. Was Matt Castle a Packer at any point in his football career? I believe. Let me double check that. I am wrong on that. There was a couple quarterbacks that came through after Matt Hasselbeck. I'm sorry, not Matt Castle. Matt Hasselbeck is who I'm thinking of. There were guys that came through and ended up being pretty darn good quarterbacks. While Brett Favre was still the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, because they took chances on guys. They checked guys out. They wanted to make sure that they had the best available at the position. The Bears have never wanted to make sure they had the best available at the position. They just wanted to take swings at it and hope that they played it literally like Javier Baez. Doesn't matter if it's 4 feet outside, 5 feet inside, or right down the middle. I'm swinging for the fences. I'm going to be on one knee at the end of it, and it's either going out of the park or it's landing 5 feet short for a pop fly. That is exactly how the Bears have gone about evaluating the quarterback position. And listen, you can't tell me that this is the worst case scenario. Now, if you've got somebody on the phone and you feel like Caleb Williams is the answer and you're Ryan Poles and the Raiders sit there and they say, we're willing to give you a third round pick, a second round pick, a fourth round pick. Okay, maybe you listen in that situation. I'd probably be more prone to say, go ahead and listen if you've already made your decision at the quarterback, if you're Ryan Poles, right? But if you're getting calls back and they're like, I got a fifth for you in like a future, like sixth, that's the best I can do. I would say that that's not enough for the Chicago Bears to decide to move on. I would say that's not enough for the Chicago Bears to just give up on a guy that even Ryan Poles just talked about. He has seen improvement and he's seen development in. So to me, if you're in a situation where you give him up for nothing to the Raiders, maybe, and I don't know why the Raiders would, I don't, right? The Raiders seem to be like the last ditch ever. I have no idea why the Raiders would want him. Like, why would you run that experiment back? I guess he's better than Aiden O'Connell, but like, why would you run that experiment back? You just saw what it was. Or you sit here and you have these guys fight it out like football players. It's Justin Fields and Caleb Williams fighting it out like football players. May the best man win. And if the best man is Caleb Williams, guess what? Bear down. I'm going to be cheering for Caleb Williams. If the best man is Justin Fields, I would hope that y'all are bear down and you'll be cheering for Justin Fields. But is the best situation to figure out how to get this quarterback position right by bringing them both in? We don't want to put pressure on the guy. We don't want to put undue stress on the guy. If the guy's a competitor, if the guy's that good, undue stress is not going to be on him. You know who stress is going to be on? You. That's the problem. That's why nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to have that conversation. Nobody wants to have quarterback controversy going into camp. You just want to know the answer. Sometimes knowing the answer doesn't make it the right answer. I've heard 100 people sit there confidently and say, this is what's going to happen. The Bears are going to do this. And guess what? How many of them have been proven right yet? How many of them? I saw a couple people yesterday. Bears all in on Saquon Barkley. He's going to be a Bear. He's an Eagle. We got DeAndre Swift. I haven't heard one insider talk about a DeAndre Swift signing. DeAndre Swift? You haven't heard one name linked to DeAndre Swift. Stop it. I get it. I get the insiders. I get all the insight. I get all of this. But nobody's talked about that deal getting done. In fact, nobody's talked about any of the offseason moves that the Chicago Bears have made. Nobody was talking about Kevin Byard to the Bears, which is another signing the Chicago Bears made that we also have to get into on here as well. Nobody was talking about Kevin Byard to the Bears. Appreciate you guys for tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page, man. We're going to keep this thing moving along. It almost slipped my mind to bring that up on today's podcast, but we got to talk about that on today's podcast. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. Leave that five-star review and let me know in the comments, what would you do? Would you sign or would you rather have a situation where the Bears get rid of Justin for minimal draft capital, late draft capital, sixth-round pick, fifth-round pick? Or would you rather have those two competed out in camp? Let me know in the comments below. I'll be down to talk with you guys as well. Let's keep it going here. The Bears now have signed Jalen Johnson, who spoke today. Interesting shirt. Don't know if you guys saw the press conference. Very interesting shirt. They signed Kevin Byard to a two-year, $15 million base over the weekend. And I believe that it was exactly the kind of deal that you wanted to get as far as going after one of these veteran guys who's maybe a little bit older. Quandre Diggs would have been a lot more expensive on that. Jamal Adams, of course, would have been more expensive on that. You get a Pro Bowl level player to stand next to Jaquan Brisker, a guy who has been an absolute interception maniac. And I know a little bit of a down season last year, still 120 tackles, but a little bit of a down season based on what we've seen from him as far as the interception numbers. But I think here's the biggest part of the signing with Kevin Byard. And not to say I'm not unhappy with the signing, but I'm a little unsure. But the one thing that gives me faith on the deal that the Bears just made is you're putting him next to Jaquan Brisker. You're putting him behind Jalen Johnson. You're putting him behind Tyreek Stevenson. You're putting him behind Tremaine Edmonds. Right? You got Jack Sanborn in there. You've got, why am I blanking on our other linebacker right now? Like, there's some dogs out there, right? You're putting him behind Montez Sweat. TJ Edwards was the other linebacker I was blanking on there. I don't know if you guys saw Jervon Dexter, but he looks like he's getting into, as Yerk would say, Santana Dotson form. You're putting him behind, hopefully, something you're going to add on the defensive line at some point here. And that makes me feel a lot better because when you look at where his interceptions came from in Tennessee, big numbers, big plays, big numbers. But those numbers come from behind a defensive line that was really able to get after the quarterback. Those numbers come from really good defensive play in front of the safeties. To the point where he can go out and ball hawk. He can go out and be that guy that can lead the NFL in interceptions at eight, right? He can be that guy who can go out there and snatch six interceptions in a game. Like, he may be able to bounce back to being that guy, but he was playing on a defense, two defenses last year in Tennessee that just was dog water. And then you send him over to Philly and they've got all their issues over there. Everything's a problem there. Like, fly, Eagles, fly. That was die, Eagles, die last year with the coordinator situation. And so to me, you're now sitting there and you're at adding him to a defense where he's going to be able to come out and make an impact. He's going to be able to come out and he can focus on the thing that you want him to focus on. 28 career interceptions, and you're still looking at a guy who's a sure tackler, 120 tackles last season. Like, you love that. And at seven and some change million a year over the next couple of years, that's fine. And realistically speaking, if we're being honest, it's probably more of a one-year deal. Let's draft the young guy or find the young guy, bring him in, and see if we can put a young guy in there for the future. But for a one-year, maybe two-year deal, Kevin Byard being back there is not the worst thing the Chicago Bears can have. And I think that maybe you could get a little bit long-term value out of this if you're able to make an impact here. You got a good player at a low price. And I'm okay with that. I'm always okay with that. And so I thought that that was a great move by the Chicago Bears over the weekend. And I think that you're continuing to improve this defense. Like I've said this a million times. Get the pressure up front and the guys on the back are going to be fine. Get the pressure up front and the guys in the back are going to be fine. You get those dogs up front that can get after the quarterback, Jalen Johnson's going to have interception numbers again. You get those dogs up front that are going to be after the quarterback, Jaquan Brisker is going to be a monster this year. Tyreek Stevenson going to have some great numbers because I'm not giving you the time to get set. And guess what that leads to? That leads to Kevin Byard picks and possibly Kevin Byard pick sixes. And I can't wait to see that celebration happening this season. Let me know how you guys feel in the comments below. I'll be down to talk with you as well. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Big fans of Kevin Byard. Do you like the signing? Do you like this move by the Chicago Bears? Let me know down below and drop a bear down if you haven't done so already. To finish it out, finish out the podcast. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. The Chicago Bears have put a plan in place to invest more than $2 billion of private funding into a project that would put the Chicago Bears' new stadium and dome on the museum campus. Is this something that you would like to see? And we've heard through the grapevine, I don't know if this is confirmed yet, and I don't know if this would end up being done, but that the Chicago Bears and the White Sox would look to go in together on this deal. My God, Jerry's annoying as far as like one of the owners of my teams. I love the White Sox. I love the Bulls. And yet I feel like he gets in the way of both teams. I'm just like, get out of the way. But you got to give him credit as a businessman. He sees something, option to get done. He's going to try and get it done. But the Chicago Bears looking to keep the stadium here in Chicago. I think that this is a big move by the Bears. I think that this is interesting and it puts the pressure on Arlington Heights. Now, for me, I like the idea of the stadium being in Arlington Heights, but I love the idea of the stadium being in Chicago. My thing was, are the Bears going to be able to own their own stadium? That does not seem to be the case with this situation, at least from what we know now. This seems like it would still be kind of like the city owns the stadium. The Bears don't own the stadium. So the Bears aren't getting the revenue out of this stadium. But okay, I don't care who owns the stadium. As long as it's a nice stadium with a dome, it's warm inside, I can walk in. We did a Bears Radio Network panel today up at Hallis Hall. If you were one of the few people that got invited to that, it was awesome to see you guys out there. And it was really fun. But you hear, I was sitting here talking about, I just want to be able to wear my hoodie inside. I can't wait to go in there and have a good time. Yeah, I mean, and Thayer, and not Thayer, Jeff Joniak was like, Jeff says, I feel like the elements are in play and I would love to have, you know, I think that keeping the stadium open would be a better option for the Bears. Jeff, I love you. There's no way we're not throwing a top on this thing. I do not believe in bear weather personally. And the reason I don't believe in bear weather is because I've been alive 25 years. I'll be 29 years. I'll be 30 this year. So I'll be alive 30 years. In my 30 years on this earth, I have probably seen bear weather work to the Chicago Bears' advantage 4 times. Let me know how many times it's worked for you guys. Because the problem with bear weather is the teams that we hate most and that we want to beat most play in bear weather. Now, bear weather may work for Jared Goff. Jared Goff hates playing in the cold. It works for him. But Jared Goff probably be out of the league by the time this deal gets done. But realistically speaking, seeing a dome on the lakefront, if you're going to put it anywhere, I mean, my God, the city in the background, the shots of that would be amazing. The fact that you keep all of your teams in Chicago, one of the only, I believe the only city that has that where all of their professional teams are in Chicago, the amount of teams that we have in Chicago, maybe even moving the White Sox over there as well, keeping them in Chicago because they're looking for a new stadium. Like, I do think that there's something like I not to say I care about it, but if you're going to do it and it's going to work for you, do it right. And I would love to have that. Because there's something about being able to go to a game in the city of Chicago. There's something about being able to go to a game and being able to hit all the things in Chicago. And that's what you get a little bit more of on the lakefront. I think the worst part about where Soldier Field is now is like, you're going to Soldier Field, and if you want to go out later, you got to deal with 45 minutes of traffic just to get to any spot to go kick it. That's not the situation that I would think they would be building here. More than likely, I would think that you're talking about, okay, boom, we're going to be able to get this property. We're building so much stuff around it. You're building Hallis land out there, right? The Hallis Hall, the Hallis Front. Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like it would be more of a inclusive area, and you can go get your Lou Malnati's right there. You can go get your Portillo's right there. You got your local pubs right there. You can go get your little Giordano's. I'm sure there's going to be some regular pizzerias out there as well. Like, everything being right there. You want the buzz to be around the stadium, not just in the stadium. And that's something you don't get with Soldier Field. The buzz at Soldier Field is in Soldier Field. Outside of that, yes, the city is buzzing itself, but it's not right there because there's nothing you can do around Soldier Field. And so to me, if you get that buzz around the stadium, right, say the Bears do go on and win a Super Bowl and this new stadium is done, and the second that they win the Super Bowl, you rush to the stadium and you've got people standing outside the stadium, scoreboards outside the stadium, billboards outside. Like, those are the things to me that make that make winning in Chicago just take a huge step in the right direction. I said if they moved it to Arlington Heights, build out Hallis Heights. I would love to see the Bears build out Hallis Heights. I think you've got all that room to do it. And yeah, you're missing out on the city aspect of it, but then the Bears own everything. That revenue from the stadium goes back into revenue for the team. Revenue for the team equals better players. Better players equals more wins. More wins equals more championships. More championships equals more money. It all comes back to money, people. And so for me, when I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about, okay, where would I rather have this stadium financially? I would rather have it in Arlington Heights because the Bears own the land, the Bears own the stadium, the Bears own the build. And if Arlington Heights, like, I don't understand how Arlington Heights is like not in on this. And I understand taxes, different things like that are going to go there, right? Are you going to mess up traffic, blah, 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 all of that. The Bears, whatever city you bring the Chicago Bears to, and I'm not doing the figures, I don't know the actual numbers, but I would bet you revenue increases in that city by at least $500 million, if not more. All your businesses are going to go in the right direction because they're around the Bears. You're creating jobs there because the Bears are going to put up all their Bears stuff all around Hallis and all around whatever the new field is called and all of that. They're going to build all of that. So you're going to have more jobs there. You're going to have more opportunities there. You're going to have more money there. I don't understand the not wanting to do it and the wanting to play hardball with a team that was like, we'll come to you. We'll make this work. We'll figure this out. And talking with Kevin Warren today and hearing him talk, you can tell he's about that business. He's about that action. He's not joking around. He's not sitting here and saying, we're going to wait on this. He is a guy that's like, we're going to move in the right direction. You may have some obstacles to get put in our way. And if you're the obstacle in our way, guess what? We will go a different direction, but we're still going to get to the end game. The end game in this situation is the stadium being built. And now you're talking about the mayor possibly being the new mayor, getting some things done here with the Bears to keep the Chicago Bears here in Chicago. I mean, like, listen, a big surprise to me, but not a unwanted surprise. I think a lot of people too. Here's the funny part. You know what I don't hear as much anymore? Because I was one of the people that was like, I love the fact that you're moving to Arlington because you own the stadium and it's going to be, you know, it makes it easier to get to. I was one of those guys. But the second they announced the Bears have a real plan to stay in Chicago, I was like, yo, Chicago's kind of dope, though. Like, I love the fact that the Bears are here. Like, this is pretty dope. And so I feel like for that reason, you kind of look at, I haven't heard a lot of the other side, I should say. I haven't heard a lot of the like, hey, you know, the Bears could build it. Why would they want to build in Chicago? It makes no sense. We're sick of it. I hate it. I don't want to say, nobody's really saying that out there. Maybe there's a couple scragglers, but like, I feel like the second it was like a real possibility that the Bears could stay in Chicago and Chicago was actually playing ball with them, everybody was kind of like, I do like the Bears in Chicago. It makes me feel nice. So I'm in on the Bears staying in Chicago. If they move to Arlington, I'm in on that too. Guess what? Here's the thing that I said. I'll say the exact same thing that I said with the White Sox. It doesn't matter what building you're in. Just don't go to that building and keep doing the same thing you were doing in the previous building. I don't care if they play in Soldier Field. I don't care if they play in the new stadium. I don't care if they play at Lake Forest High School. I don't care if they play at NIU. Just win. When the White Sox started talking about moving, I was like, 108 losses in a new stadium is still 108 losses. Guess what? For the Bears, 12 losses in a new stadium is still 12 losses. Go win. That's what we want to see. That's what Bears fans want to see. That's how we want this situation to finish out. Stadium, all of that, love it. Figure out how to get this quarterback position right. Figure out how to get this defense right. Figure out how to get these offensive line and defensive line right and go win. And you know what, Bears? We'll be there to celebrate with you no matter where you are. You could win in the middle of Lake Michigan. Put the stadium out there and it floats. You'll have Bears fans swimming out to you. That's how much we love this team. So we'll see what the Bears do, man. Want to know how you guys feel. Thoughts on the stadium. Thoughts on the things that are going on around the city. Thoughts on the team as well. Let me do one last check here on the old tweeters. Make sure we don't have any new news on the Chicago Bears here. I've got Ravens free agent safety Geno Stone to the Bengals. Gus Edwards is going from John Harbaugh to Jim Harbaugh. Interesting. 2-year deal with the Chargers there. Colts keeping more of their own. They keep Grover Stewart. 3-year, $39 million. Not bad. Giants signing Devin Singletary to a 3-year, $16 million deal. Good job on the Giants finally figuring out how much things are worth. And yeah, that is all the latest updates that we have gotten here. Let me know how you guys feel in the comments below. I'll be down there talking with you as well. As always, it's your boy, Pat the Designer, back at it again. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Bird on Chicago, Chicago Bears podcast. Peace.